Let's read together Psalms 80 and 81. In Psalm 80, Asaph gives us the key to the restoration of Israel as the vine. And in Psalm 81, Asaph gives us the key for guaranteed blessing from the Lord. Let's consider a few background notes for Psalm 80. We see from the title of this psalm that it is another psalm of Asaph, and it was set to the tune of Shoshanim, meaning lilies, and was used in worship. Eduth means a testimony. Once again, we see that this Asaph was probably a descendant of the Asaph of David's time. It seems that the occasion of this psalm was sometime after the Assyrian takeover of the northern kingdom of Israel, because it is especially the northern tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, or Joseph, that are asking for restoration. In verses 1 through 7, the figure of a shepherd and his flock is used. The shepherd of Israel is the Lord himself, who is seen as enthroned above the cherubim of the Ark of the Covenant. Verses 1 through 3, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Stir up your strength and come and save us. Restore us, O God. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved." The sheep of the northern kingdom of Israel rightly recognized that their tears and disgrace and defeat were because of God's discipline. God's discipline upon them because of their sins. Verses 4 through 7. "O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry against the prayer of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in great measure. You have made us a strife to our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved." In verses 8 through 16, the figure for Israel is changed from a flock of sheep to a grapevine, another often used figure for Israel. The vine is seen as transplanted from Egypt and taking root in the land and spreading out in all directions. Verses 8 through 11, "You have brought a vine out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations and planted it. You prepared room for it and caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with its shadow, and the mighty cedars with its boughs. She sent out her boughs to the sea and her branches to the river," that is, west to the Mediterranean Sea, northeast to the Euphrates River. But then the Lord, as the vineyard keeper, is seen as taking down the protective hedge around the vineyard and allowing even the wild animals to steal its fruit. Verses 12 and 13, "Why have you broken down her hedges, so that all who pass by the way pluck her fruit? The boar out of the woods uproots it, and the wild beast of the field devours it." Verses 14 and 15, "Return, we beseech you, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and see, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which your right hand has planted, and the branch which you made strong for yourself." The root and branch, or as in some of your translations, the shoot and son of verse 15, is not a reference to the Lord, but to Israel, who had been cut down and burned by the invading Assyrians, as we can see in verse 16. "It is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of your countenance." But now in verses 17 through 19, we have the messianic portion of this psalm, and that brings us to our doctrinal point for Psalm 80. The key to healing is recognition of the Son. The key to healing is recognition of the Son. Verses 17 through 19. "Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, upon the son of man whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will not turn back from you. Revive us, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved." These words go beyond Israel as a son or branch to the Lord Jesus himself, who is the Son of Man and the man of God's right hand. You know, even a number of Jewish scholars see these verses as messianic. He alone, the Lord Jesus, is the key to Israel's healing and restoration. When Israel turns back to the Lord and receives her Messiah, whom she rejected and continues to reject. Then and only then will the nation of Israel be revived and restored. Then the threefold prayer request of this psalm will be answered. Verse 3, restore us, O God, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. And verse 7, restore us, O God of hosts, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. And verse 19, restore us, O Lord God of hosts, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Now, not only is the key to Israel's healing the recognition of the Lord Jesus as the Son of God and Savior, but it is the key to every individual person's healing from the sickness of sin. Have you recognized the Lord Jesus as the Messiah and received him as your only way of salvation and the only means of having God's face shine upon you with blessing and favor? The key to healing is recognition of the Son. Let's continue reading the first seven verses of Psalm 81. Here we have the key to continued blessing from the Lord. Sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Raise a song and strike the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the lute. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the full moon on our solemn feast day. For this is a statute for Israel, a law of the God of Jacob. This he established in Joseph as a testimony, when he went throughout the land of Egypt, where I heard a language I did not understand. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were freed from the baskets. You called in trouble, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Let's consider a few background notes for Psalm 81. We see from the title that Asaph is also the author of this psalm, and it is for the choir or music director on the gittith, either a name of a tune or musical instrument. It's easy to see from the first couple of verses that this psalm is for joyful celebration. Question, was this joyful song sung at Israel's Feast of Trumpets or Feast of Tabernacles? Answer, we can't say for sure, maybe both. The first part of verse 3, which says, blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, seems to indicate that it is the Feast of Trumpets that's in view, which was at the new moon of the seventh month, and it began the new year of the Hebrew civil calendar. The Feast of Trumpets is known as Rosh Hashanah. However, the last part of verse 3, which says, at the full moon on our solemn feast day, seems to point to the Feast of Tabernacles, which was in the middle of the seventh month at the time of the full moon. The Feast of Tabernacles is known as Sukkot. In either case, we see that this psalm was for a time of joyful celebration that was ordered by God for his people to celebrate their deliverance from Egypt, verses 4 and 5, as well as his continued patience with them. God did not listen to the language of the Egyptians, who were not his people, verse 5. But he rescued Israel from their slave baskets and burdens of bricks and clay, verse 6. He protected them with his cloud cover in the wilderness and provided for them as well as tested them at the waters of Meribah, verse 7. Now in verses 8 through 16, we see God's key for blessing as he reviews and summarizes the overall history of Israel. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Psalm 81. The key to blessing is obedience to the Lord. The key to blessing is obedience to the Lord. Verses 8 through 16. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you will listen to me, there shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their stubborn heart, to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him, but their fate would endure forever. He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat, and with honey from the rock I would have satisfied you. In these verses, we see that an overview is given of Israel's history from the time of the Exodus. God gave his people the law with his promise to bless them if they would obey. But Israel did not listen to the law, and they did not follow and obey the Lord. And therefore, God gave them over to the stubbornness of their own hearts, where they would reap what they had sown. Verse 12. If only Israel had walked in obedience to the Lord. Verse 13, how different it would have been. Their enemies and those that hated the Lord would have been quickly subdued and judged. Verses 14 and 15, and they would have been blessed with abundant harvests. Verse 16. Now the fact that verse 16 ends with the second person, you, addressed, seems to indicate that when this psalm was written, it was still not too late for Israel to repent and turn back to the Lord. In fact, we know from the prophetic scriptures that Israel will return to the Lord in a coming day. Both the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Tabernacles have their prophetic implications in reference to the regathering of Israel to the land, as seen in the Feast of Trumpets, and the great time of blessing during the millennial kingdom of Christ, seen in the Feast of Tabernacles. And of course, there is the present-day application of these verses to all believers. The key to blessing is obedience to the Lord. Practical application from Psalms 80 and 81. Don't make practical applications beyond the limits of Scripture. Don't make practical applications beyond the limits of Scripture. Our practical application comes from the end of verse 10 of Psalm 81. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Psalm 81:10. You know, some lazy Christians have used this verse to justify their lack of preparation for teaching a Bible study or preaching a sermon or even answering a difficult Bible question. After all, the Lord promises that all you have to do is open your mouth and he will fill it with the words to say. That is bad hermeneutics. The meaning of this verse in context is that if Israel would follow the Lord and obey the Lord, then the Lord would bless the nation abundantly. Now, you've heard the hermeneutical principle, one interpretation, many applications, right? So a valid application of this promise would be, if we follow the Lord and if we obey the Lord, he will bless us. This is certainly backed up by the rest of Scripture. But to say that we don't have to prepare a sermon or a Bible study, but just open our mouths and start talking is an unbiblical stretch. It goes beyond the limits of the rest of Scripture. But you say, what about Matthew chapter 10 and verse 19, where the Lord says, but when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given you in that hour what you should speak. Matthew 10:19. Listen. In application of Matthew 10:19, we can say that there will be times of crisis when the Lord will give us the words to speak, but don't use Psalm 81:10 as a justification for being lazy and not preparing your sermons and Bible studies. Don't make practical applications beyond the limits of Scripture.